the current administration has portrayed this as sort of enforcing a rule that's already been in place, but it kind of sounds like that's not really the case because they are updating the standards. Does that sound right to you?
I would say that they are not just clarifying an existing rule or enforcing an existing rule. This really significantly changes a practice that has been in place for a long time. It makes the standard for public charge much lower. It looks at a broader range of benefit use, and it, you know, imposes these wealth tests and sort of discrimination against non-English speakers and people with significant health conditions that haven't existed before and that are going to create an invisible wall for people who are trying to get through to the United States following the legal process.
It's my understanding that a lot of the sort of illegal immigration that we see now is because the current legal system is so obtuse and hard for people to go through. So I guess first, is that understanding correct? And then if so, would you say that this new updated rule would actually create even more barriers in the legal system, thus exacerbating the illegal immigration situation?
That's absolutely right. I mean, this rule targets the legal immigration process explicitly. It's only about the process of legal immigration. And to your first point, you know, the reason that people are here without documentation or here illegally, and the reason that they come illegally is because it's just impossible for most people to get either a temporary visa or to get their green card. People wait decades to get their green card, even if they're, you know, able to move through that path. And so, yeah, this is just going to make it harder. It's going, you know, there's some analyses out there that show that this is going to affect a significant or going to bar a significant percentage of new applicants for their green card from getting through. And so, you know, I think we can really expect this to exacerbate the problem, as you said.
Yeah, so that just seems contradictory to their rhetoric, which is that they're trying to deal with the illegal immigration or people coming here without documentation. It just seems like counterintuitive to what it is that they say they're trying to do.
Absolutely. You know, I think this administration, the president himself has said things about, you know, preferring the legal process or saying that people should be waiting in line and that's what he's about. But really what his actions have shown is, you know, cruelty, especially towards non-white immigrants. You know, it's no surprise that these changes will disproportionately affect non-white immigrants from countries like Mexico, Central and South America, and other, you know, in other countries. As demonstrated by his actions, this president and his administration is really just not favorable to immigration at all.
In communities like ours in the Roaring Fork Valley, we have a relatively high immigrant population, and our economy actually seems to rely on them being here and working and being part of the economy. So I'm wondering, should we expect in the future impacts in that vein based on this rule?
You know, immigrants are younger, they're more likely to be working, they're more likely to, I mean, they work in a lot of jobs that have high demand for labor right now. And so, you know, that has a high likelihood of really impacting our economy. The other way that this rule is expected to impact our state and local economy is by depressing utilization of public benefit programs. We call this the chilling effect because it wouldn't actually, you know, impact their immigration status, but the fear that it would is sort of causing disenrollment from programs. And when people disenroll from programs, we lose the federal funding that, for example, going into our grocery stores or going into our healthcare system, funding jobs in our economy. And so the Colorado Fiscal Institute did a look at how this disenrollment could impact our economy in Colorado. And their lower end estimated that there could be potential job loss in the range of 1,200 jobs. And a decrease in economic activity of $179 million. And this is just from disenrollment in SNAP and Medicaid, not looking at the impacts on housing or cash assistance or those kinds of things.
How can we take action in this area, and what sort of things can we do about it at this point?
I think really working as a community to get accurate information about what this rule says out is step one. For example, a lot of people are fearful that this public charge test applies at the citizenship stage. And so people who are permanent residents and eligible for benefits are deciding to disenroll because they think it's a test that's applied at citizenship. But that's not the case. Also, another talking point that I think is really important to lift up for communities is that people can get benefits for their eligible children or other eligible family members without it impacting, their immigration status.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate all of your knowledge and your time.
Thank you so much.
More information on how the public charge rule can impact people based on immigration status can be found at protectingimmigrantfamilies.org. For KDNK News, I'm Lucas Turner.